voice to heaven and say, Lord, I want more of you tonight. Release more of you to me. Reveal more of you to me today. Let me get to know you a little bit more tonight. That's why I'm here this evening. I'm not here to hear from any man or from any woman. I'm not here because of anybody, but I've just come to hear more from you, to get to know you a little bit more, to receive more power, to receive more love, more of you in my life. Release your word to me tonight. Give me deep understanding in the name of Jesus. Let it be simple for me to understand. Let it be simple for me to apply in my life. Let it be simple for me to remember. In Jesus' name we've prayed. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Hallelujah. Put your beautiful hands together for the Lord tonight. Welcome to church. Thank you very much. God bless you. All right. Please take your seat. I decided to bring... I wanted us to read a scripture, but I wanted to read it in a slightly different version as well. I'll read it in normal version that we see and know. Then I decided to go and study it or read it in New Living Translation because it's simpler. And I thought I understood it better, and I got a few more things out of it, and I want to talk to you based on that tonight. So the title of tonight's message is Power to You. Let me tell your neighbor, is your phone from Vodafone? That is a strap line for Vodafone. Power to you. You didn't know? Vodafone. That's their line. They're still arguing. All right. The title of the message tonight is Power to You. All right. And I'll tell you where that came from, and I'll tell you why and how relevant that is. And if you miss Trumpet Night, the theme of this month, or the word that God has released to us this month, God has said to us that this is a month of resurrection power, of his resurrection power. I started studying that right after Pastor declared the word. And I asked myself, power is not something you physically see, but you experience. You know when someone is powerful. One of our lovely brothers was having a chat with us yesterday, and he was talking about someone there to him, and he was saying he's powerful. He believes this is power. So you can tell, but you can't hold it, but you know when it's there. And you also know when it's not there. And so I just wanted to teach us a little bit about power this evening. Well, let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. What does resurrection power mean? Pastor declared it. Some of us know it. Some of us don't. Some of us think we do. Some of us don't care. But I want you to care because it's about your life. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 6. We're going to read all the way to verse 11. The Bible says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So many of us know this. We read it, we say it. Particularly verse 10, we recite it. Whether we understand is a totally different thing. Maybe we understand it a little, but whether we experience it is another thing entirely. So what I'm believing God for tonight is that you will understand it a bit more, and you will get to appreciate it and experience it, which is very important. Christianity is about experiencing God. All right. So if we read it in NLT, New Living Translation, which is simpler English, particularly if you read from verses 7 all the way down to 11, say, I once thought these things were valuable. So let's go back from verse 6 anyway. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed every law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake, I have discarded everything. So earlier on in that scripture, it talked about all his qualifications, talked about how much he had served God and how he understood. He was a solicitor. He had done very well in his field. He was at the top end of his industry, top end of his society. And he's saying all of these things now, I'm putting them aside to know God more. That's what he's trying to say. And he says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's ways of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Okay. Now, when I read that scripture, I could understand that better because it was slightly more modern day English. And I don't know how many of us say that to ourselves. When I first became a believer, I was a very young girl. I became a believer as a teenager. And I'm glad the teenagers are in today. And I went to my very first year in higher education. I had this particular Christian brother that decided that he was going to mentor me. He's a lot older in faith than me. He was a prayer band coordinator. And the following year, I actually became the head of the Christian Union. So the first year, I got to uni, and it was my first year of experiencing anything called freedom in any way, shape, or form. Always been at home all my life, never gone out of home. And I played away the term. And generally speaking, I'm a very friendly person. So I was friendly with everybody possible. But apparently in that higher institution, once a year, they have something called Marriage Week. What that really means is, so they have a board where they assume two people are dating each other and then they put your name out publicly. Can you imagine if you have a boyfriend secretary and they secretly, and there is a board where they paste someone they believe is going out with another person. Just before we got to that week, I got very serious with God, right? But I wasn't dating anybody. But I got to the board the very first day, which was a Monday. And my name was matched with four different boys. Now, listen, this is me, go to fellowship, time's calf. Everybody knows I'm born again, and I'm supposed to be sister. And then your name is up on the screen with four different boys, okay? As if that was not enough. The following day, seven different boys. Exactly. Even me, I was perplexed. By this time, shame did not allow me to go to class that day. So I ran to my fellowship leader. I don't know what to do. Help me. That this time also, other people that are Christians around me, I felt as if they were looking at me suspiciously. Maybe not, but it was my mind probably playing games on me. But I didn't know where else to turn to. I couldn't go and tell my parents. Even though we're very close in my home, it's not the kind of thing you go home and tell your parents. So I walked up to my fellowship leader and I said to him that I needed to come and see him. I went to his room. He was praying. He's always praying. If he's not, he's a structural engineer. If he's not praying, I was studying his Bible. He's probably in class. It's just, you know, just that way. So of all the people to go to, he was the one I went to. When I got in there and I first sat down, so he sat me down. He didn't have a reception. It's only one room with one single bed. So I got there. He had a seat. He said I should sit there. He just continued praying. He was very oppressive in his nature, I'm higher than you kind of thing. Okay, I was newer as a believer as well. And then after 15 minutes, he stopped praying, then he started studying his Bible for another 15, 20 minutes. I was there. But I was the one that came to him that had a problem. So when he had time, he looked up. He said, "What is the problem?" I said, "My name is on the board." He was on the board yesterday. He was on the board today. It got worse. I don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow. He said, "Why is your name on the board?" I said, "It's not true. I'm not even dating any of them." He said, "Why is your name on the board?" I said, "No, I'm saying it's not. That's not the point. Why is your name on the board?" He said, "I don't know." Said, "Because you do not have power." That is what he said to me. It was a rude awakening, but you know what it did for me? It gave me a consciousness that I want this power. What is power? Because I never needed it before. Now I need it, at least for my name not to come up the following day. I needed that power. That week I needed God to come down. So he prayed with me. And he told me I should bring my Bible. I took my Bible with him because, you know, you don't have telephones there, so you're going to go and visit the head of fellowship. You have to take your Bible, otherwise you'll be considered unserious. Anyway, now I'm in big trouble, and it gets worse. So I said it's on the board. He said, "I don't go to such places." So he didn't even go to see the board. But he knew. He heard. How he heard, only God knew. As far as I was concerned, God told him. So he said, "I should bring my Bible." He opened the whole Bible, No marking in the Bible said you are very unserious Christian. No markings in your Bible. Today my Bible is full of marks, thanks to you. And so on and so forth. But I'm telling this story because it gave me a desire to get to know God a little bit more. Maybe the wrong way around getting there, but the desire was created. But guess what? So after praying, he then took me and then put action in place. Prior to him becoming a believer, he used to be the editor of the magazine. I didn't know that. So he walked up to two of the magazines or two of the editorial board leaders. And according to them, my name was going to come up the next day anyway and the one after with different sets of people. So somehow he was able to quench that and remove my name from the board. And he said, this should be the last time your lack of power should bring embarrassment to the gospel. Yes, sir. So I left. Come Wednesday, my name didn't show up. Come Thursday, no more names. Come Friday, the week has ended. So my humiliation ended on Tuesday, but you know, there were many more people that had their names flashing up. And you know, by Wednesday, because of new set of names, you have forgotten what happened on Monday. So that was how God delivered me the rest of that week. But I had a deep hunger to know God more, to understand this power that made Brother Augustine able to stop. Because he stopped it. Even if he didn't speak with that person, actually, it was a lot later I discovered he spoke to anybody. As far as I was concerned, he spoke to God and God stopped it. He then told me, I found out. So I thought maybe God told him again. Why I said all of that story is to let you know that one of the strongest things we could desire as believers is the power of God, the resurrection power of God. And as a young lady, I wanted it. After that event, I started studying my Bible more. After that event, I told myself, next year, my name is not coming up on that board, no matter what happens. Guess what? My name didn't come out, and I didn't need to speak with Brother Augustine. I had power, I think. And I behaved myself in addition to the power. So what I am trying to say to us tonight is, if you understand what God has given to us this month, you will understand how to take charge of a lot of the areas of our lives. So that's just a joke. As a student, all you think about is your reputation and education. But as an adult, you have so many things to think about. We can display this power in every single area of our lives. I was reading about power after Pastor made that declaration. And somebody said, what is the most powerful force in the universe? And he said, is it the power of the wind, which is tornadoes? If you see places that tornadoes have attacked, you would think this is really bad. It cannot get any worse than tornadoes. Is it the power of waves or water? A tsunami. When you see places where tsunamis have gone through, it just clears everything on its path. Is it the power of wattage or watts, which is electricity? It's a good thing it doesn't happen here in United Kingdom often. But in the third world country, people get electrocuted. And I've seen it with my eyes. You just touch something and you're gone. It's so powerful. Even it sits there and it looks like it's not deadly. It's deadly. This is the power of war. You know, everybody's afraid of nuclear weapons. Somebody has nuclear weapons somewhere that is going to unleash it and everybody will just die. But despite all those powerful forces, I believe very strongly that if we understand the power of resurrection, it is bigger and larger than any of those things put together. Because the power of resurrection is the power that brings change from inside out. It's a power that was unleashed 2,000 years ago, and it still works in my life and your life now, no matter how big or how small the issue is. The power of resurrection, if we understand it, and I'm going to attempt to explain it a little bit as much or as simple as I'm able to today. The power of resurrection is a force that brings change in our lives. So for us to enjoy resurrection power, we need to understand it. And we know that power is a force, so we know to some extent, but the question is, the resurrection power is the fullness of the forceful power of God. The fullness of the forceful power of God. So it does five things. So let me just try and tell you five little things it does. Number one, the power is a converting power. It can change things. And if you read the book of John chapter 20, when Jesus rose up from the dead, a few things happened there. The first thing was that he changed a gentleman from verses 24 to 28. I'm going to attempt to be as slow as possible today. Because I was told by someone yesterday, I was so fast last week, they couldn't write all the scriptures down. So, John chapter 20, if you read from verses 24 to 28, there's this gentleman by the name of Thomas. We all know of him. This gentleman was a doubter. He used to doubt. I actually thought that that was the only place where he doubted. It wasn't true. Actually, looking back, I discovered that there were many other places he's been showing traits of doubt and skepticism when it comes to the things of God. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Those different places. And the Bible made us understand that when Jesus rose from the dead and he met him, his perspective changed. This is a doubter. This is a skeptic. This is someone that never believed. And history says to us today that Thomas is actually the gentleman that took Christianity to India, today's India. And the whole of Christianity in the whole of that region is actually, you can trace it back to this gentleman and every single path he walked through to get to India. Chains and chains of people saved. Somebody that was a doubter now became somebody that is a devotion-oriented person that is very much into God. This same power, I said to us that the power of God, that's what I'm talking about right now, is able to convert. This same power can change somebody that is very fearful into a faithful person. Power of God. Some of us in our personalities, because of what we've gone through, because of the homes we come from, because of our challenges, we grew up to be a very, very fearful bunch. Maybe mom is always afraid, because mom is always afraid and she's always talking to you. Before you knew it, you've picked up fear. This same power of God can change a fearful person into a very strong, faith-filled person that you're not afraid anymore. So maybe some of the things I'll say today resonates with you because you know what you used to be before you became a believer and you know what you are now. That's what that power can do. This same power of God is more than enough. And he did that, not just with the disciples as well, in that same John 20. That same power of God was able to get the disciples that were hiding somewhere in the book of Acts. They were speaking with a lot of boldness. The same power, resurrection power. The same power is able to change people from a point of despair to delight, where joy comes. If you look at Mary Magdalene's story, again in that same John chapter 20, so when you have time, try and read John chapter 20. She went to the tomb of Jesus Christ. She couldn't find him. Because she couldn't find him in the tomb, she was panicking. She was upset. She was in despair. And the Bible made us understand that when that same resurrection power came upon her, her life was full of delight. So I don't know what your life is like now. I don't know what challenges you're going through now. But what I know is that this power of God, this month that we're talking about, is more than able to bring a change in your life. If you understand what you have. So basically what I'm saying to you is that this is that month where anything that has bothered you should be converted. This is the month of conversion. This is the month of change. So if you find yourself in a place last month, tell yourself, well, because it is the month of his resurrection power, that will be at work in me. Refuse to allow that thing to hold you bound, because the Bible says that nothing was able to hold Jesus Christ down in the grave. That same resurrection power got him out. That power is a conquering power. It conquers, it subdues, it wins. You know, to conquer is to subdue, to win, to overcome by force. And that's the power of God. The Bible made us understand that when Jesus went into the grave and he came back out, he came back in power. He overcame. He overcame death. And actually, that is, we were told, is the biggest enemy of man. So if you can do that. Earlier on today, we were in a hospital. And we went to spend some time with a member that is there. And there's a gentleman. And this gentleman, he had drips running into his body, so he wasn't well. He was in the hospital. As we were walking through the door, I saw him, and he was smoking outside the hospital. And I said to Pastor, I said, look at this gentleman. I said, he's sick and he's still smoking. And I said something like that, something along that line. And he said, oh, he'll soon be here. I said, no, he's already here. He said, what do you mean? I said, look at that. There was I don't know what they call that thing. There was something that was, loads of things were hanging on a stand attached to him. While we were waiting for our church members' operation to be over and waiting for them, this gentleman came out five times. Five different times from his ward all the way out with all these things attached to him to come and smoke. And I said to Pastor, I said, it's so much under the bondage of this thing. He doesn't even know that there's something that can deliver him. It was so much under the oppression of that. And I don't know, many of us, sometimes we think we're under a particular oppression that is constantly, that is recurring. If you understand that this month is the month of his resurrection power, that power is big enough to break that oppression. Actually, I know of somebody that used to be a chain smoker, and he thought he was going to die that way, and he got born again. And then he was debating in his mind, there's no way he's reading in the Bible. And you know, all those kind of things. When you don't want to do something, you start looking for how to justify what you're doing or not doing. And one day, he just felt a conviction in his spirit, because someone said to him, what can the power of God not do? Are you saying that this is too much for the power of God to handle? And I think he just woke up and thought, I know the power of God can do that. And he made up his mind. He was going to allow God to work his work, do his work in him. This gentleman did not go to any rehab. I knew him when I was working full-time in London. And that was, you know, 8 good years ago, he stopped smoking. No rehab, no, you know. So one day we were having a chat and I said, did you ever have a feeling that you want to? He said, yes, I did. I said, so what did you do? I kept calling on the power of God to release itself in me, because that was what I called for before I even started the journey in the first instance. Even if you are under a challenge, the power of God can help you conquer. The power of God is a conforming power. It helps us to be more like Jesus. Helps us to be more like him. Every single day, it convicts, it confronts, it consumes us, and it changes us to be more like him. If you really, genuinely want the power of God to make you more like Jesus, release yourself and let the power of God begin to work in you. I came to discover that it's not the devil that is our greatest enemy. It's actually ourselves. There are two things that are enthroned. Either you enthrone God or you enthrone self. The reason why we think it's the devil is because, so self needs to be gratified. Because you will feel that gratification at that point in time, you will fall into sin. So you think it's the devil, but it is actually you. And at that point, the question is it God or is it yourself? It's actually you. When my children were a lot younger, I used to tell them, anytime you tell a lie, anytime you tell a pokey, what you're saying is mommy is bigger than God. Is mom bigger than God? They say no. Because God is there and he can see everything. I can't, with the best of intention. Anybody you tell a lie to, you are saying that person, you are more afraid of them than you are afraid of God. Every time you do something that is not of God, you are saying that, you know, that thing is bigger at that point in time than God in your mind or in your life. The power of God helps us conform to his will. It actually helps us subdue self. All of a sudden, self is not as important. That's what Paul was saying there, that look, I had this great self-esteem. I went to the best school. I've got a great pedigree and all those things that we always count as something. And he said, because Christ has worked in me through his resurrection power, it means nothing to me. In fact, I've pushed them all aside. The power of God is also a confirming power. It establishes and supports the truth. It confirms God's ability to change our lives around. So, Paul then said something. I know that there is a power like this. I want a power like this. But how do I get there? He said, how do we attain this power? I wrote here. He said that I may know him. The release of God's power to us is in the knowing. God did not specially treat Brother Augustine more than me. He didn't have a better stand before God than I. The difference was time. The second difference was he applied himself. He applied himself to the things of God. It took time to pray. He might not know how to talk to people, but he knew how to pray. He knew how to talk to God. He knew how to read his Bible. He understood what his rights were, and he stood by them. I didn't. Every believer that does not understand what their rights are is a cheap prey for the devil. Because you don't know your rights, the devil will make mockery of you. So our son came home last weekend, because it was Mother's Day the next day. So apparently he bought a ticket to come. So he usually comes by speed train. So he bought the same ticket he used to buy. And he went and he got to Airfleet. And the train, I don't know what they're called, the inspector stopped him and said he was not meant to be on that train. And now if you know him, he likes arguing his point. So he said to the gentleman, on what basis? Because your mate allowed me go through in London. Why are you saying this train ticket is not right? In actual fact, I've been coming back home this same way for a long time. The gentleman said, well, you have to pay X amount. I can't remember how much it is now. He said, no, I'm not paying because I know my right. The guy said, okay, let's sit here because I'm going to take you to, and then the guy mentioned a court. Now, my son likes showing off as well while we're at it. So he should have said, oh, that court? I know about that court. In fact, you are talking to the wrong person now. And then he went on and on and on and on and on. Whatever he believes he is, he said to this gentleman, and he said, and by the way, that is not the right court. This is the right court. So the guy looked at him and thought, he knows he's right. Just go. After an hour and a half, that was 1 a.m. in the night. Just go. Whether he knew the right thing or not, the way he came out, whether what he was saying, he said, actually, mom, when I got back, I realized that was utter rubbish I was saying. But the guy didn't know it was rubbish. But the devil always knows when it's rubbish. He knows when it's not the word of God. But he stood, and all of a sudden, that gentleman went for the next person who probably didn't know they're right. That it doesn't matter whether I said the right thing or not. Somebody allowed me to go with this card in London, and my destination is Gravesend. So why are you stopping me halfway? The problem is with your mate that allowed me go through and the machine that allowed me go in London. Fair enough. But if you didn't know your right, you would pay £15 and more. How many times does the devil make us pay more than we need to pay in life because we do not know what our rights are? Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I used to find this scripture very disturbing because as at this time he had written quite a lot of scriptures. He has written quite a lot. And I think, why is he still saying that I may know him? Why, you know, I mean, so I keep telling myself, I used to tell myself, I said, then I stand no chance. If he's saying that at that stage of life, and I thought I already knew him, but I realized that Paul wanted to know more of God in some areas. So I decided to break it into three parts. The very first one, he wanted to know more of the person of Jesus. He wanted to know more of the person of Jesus. Because I was asking myself, what did he want to know? Verse 10, that I may know him. Because there are three requests made there. The first one is that I may know him, more of his person. We might all think we know somebody, but we know at different levels. For instance, if I say the Queen of England, we all say we know her. We don't know her, do we? But we know what she looks like. So you can talk about, some people can talk about the Queen like they were in the same house. Some people can talk about the Duchess of, is Duchess of what? Cornwall? Cambridge somewhere, you know, it all starts with C. So because maybe you follow her fashion, follow everything, they release a picture of their son, you know what their son looks like, you know who the son looks more like, and so on and so forth. So in your mind, you say, I so know them. You say, the Queen of England, say, I know her. Do you? You don't know her. But we think we do. Basic knowledge. Sometimes we think we know God, but we have basic knowledge of God. You know, Pastor said a short while ago that in this season, we're going to talk more about getting to know God better, spiritual depth. If you want to display God's power, come up a little bit more. Come up, because you need to know more to be able to get more done. I wanted to know more of God, but I wasn't ready to spend as much time as that brother was spending reading his Bible and praying. But I really do want, I want to display power. I want to say, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. That's my right, isn't it? It is my right. But it's for those that have beyond basic knowledge. It's for those that know God a little bit more. The second, there are people that are acquaintances, just casual friends. So maybe you've spoken to them 2-3 times in your life to say, do you know, I don't know, maybe somebody's relatively new in church. And I say, oh, do you know this person? Oh, I do know her. I've tried my best now to be saying, I know of her. I try very hard to say, oh, I know that lady. No, you've never even spoken to her once. In fact, you know what? If I probed a little bit more, you wouldn't even know her name, to make it worse. But you say, I know her. Acquaintances. Are you an acquaintance of God? Are you a casual friend with God? When there is a need, we call. When there is something, we call. If that is the case, the resurrection power will not be easy to come by that way. But it's your right. It's your right. You can know more of the person of Jesus. Some of us know people like in private and personal ways. So like families and close friends. It's equally good. That is very good. Because at least now you know where they live. You know the color of their sofa. I was thinking of what Pastor said earlier. You can't use that line if you've never been to his house. Do you notice? If you don't know the color of his sofa, you can't ask somebody else, do you know the color of my pastor's sofa? You don't even know it yourself. If you don't have that kind of relationship with somebody, close family, friends, that's a good relationship to have, private relationship. It's a good one, but it's not enough with God. That's not what Paul was asking for. With that, you get a measure of closeness. But there is another level where your lives are intertwined with each other, husband and wife. It doesn't even matter that you have children. You are so close that there are so many things you say back off to your children. Not, you're not one of these. You are so intertwined that somebody asked the husband a question, and I said that last week, and the wife can tell that that's what he would have said. Remember one day I was here and somebody came to me and said, Pastor said, and I said, no, it's not possible. He didn't say that. Your lives are so intertwined, you know. He said, but he said, I said, no, he didn't say that. It's not possible. He said, check with him. I said, I don't need to check with him. I know him enough to know that he won't say that. When I subsequently told him, he didn't say that. But I know. I'm not surprised. So I said, you heard him wrong. He didn't say that. If our lives are so intertwined with God that we know when he speaks, we know what it means, that's what Paul is saying. If I'm going to experience this resurrection power, I need to have a life that is seriously into God and God into me. That's the point. So, question. Would you rather have a brother Augustine that you have to keep on running to pray for you, or have it in hand yourself and do what you can do with it? And I'm so glad, because that brother, it was his final year. He wouldn't have been there for me the following year. So if I didn't learn how to fight my battles myself with God's word, I would have been in serious trouble the following year. As God will have it, I made up my mind from that day onwards, nobody will ever tell me that I do not have power with God again. Never. I don't care what you think. I know where I stand with God. So I started working on it. Paul said, he wants to know him. He wants to know the person of Jesus. I want to know more of the person of Jesus. You can't know him all in a day. We get to know more and more and more of it. I know people that have been working with the Lord for 60 years and they are still getting to know him. Consistently, without fail, I know for sure that I've been reading this Bible for 30 years. Consistently, properly, for about 30 years now. And I see every day something new. Something you have never seen before. I'm discovering more and more of God every day. And there are people that have been doing it for 50 years. And they're still finding out a little bit more about God every single day. Get to know God more. This month of his resurrection power, I'd like you to display God's power. So get to know God more. Do you remember when Pastor was talking a while ago about his uncle? He said what made him yearn to know God is a display of power by his uncle. Many of us were not in that service. Some of us were in that service. He said this uncle of his. I know the uncle is really, really lovely man. It displayed power so much. Pastor Eddie was not born again then. But this gentleman displayed power so much that Pastor Eddie was jealous. He wanted to know this God that had this much power. So he would say something along the line. Also, they're standing up together now and there is a taxi coming. And he'll say, don't bother your head because it's the third taxi that will stop for us. How bizarre, please. This is Lagos. Taxis stop when you flag them. And taxis will go by, they will be empty, and it's the third one that will stop. First time, oh, it just so happened. Second time, just so happened. Sometimes he'll say, in actual fact, this is the seventh taxi. And he'll go and sit down. And then pastor will be flagging all the taxis, and none will stop. It doesn't matter how much it's raining. It doesn't matter how empty they are. And when it's about time for the seventh one, he stands up, and he stands by him, and all of a sudden, the taxi stops. If he was here, I would say maybe he had a deal with somebody. But it couldn't have happened in a place as big as Lagos. Every time, different places. That display of power made him think, I want something. Do you know there's a way that God can show so much in your life that you're not the one that will have to be telling people, come with me. They are the ones that will say, what are you doing that is working for you? Now, that's evangelism. What is happening in your life that this is working for you? Why is it that everybody is being made redundant but not you? Why is it that everybody is being, this opportunity, the door is shutting on other people but not you? Why? Because you have the resurrection power working in you. Please desire it. Don't wait for disaster before you start desiring power. Because that's what we tend to. Wait for disaster. When it happens, we panic. We run around. We're looking for who we pray. No. Desire power now that there's no disaster. No army waits for war to start. And they say, okay, it's time now to start training the army because we're going to Afghanistan. Say, we'll train. We'll train when we get there. No, nobody does that. You won't have time to do that. So now is a good time to start getting to know the person of God more, intimately, not as an acquaintance, not casually, not from afar, not even as privates. You know, there's some people that know the private room that David Cameron has meetings in. They are good. That's his inner circle, but his wife is closer. She knows what he will say at any point in time. She sees him beyond what anybody else will see. And that's what I'm saying. Have an intimate relationship, close relationship with God. Okay. To know Jesus is in a deep and personal way. We need a few things. Number one, quiet time with God. It's not negotiable. I can't have my quiet time because I have children. It is not negotiable. I said I'm going to make it so simple. For you to experience resurrection power, you need to know God more. If you're going to know God more, you need time with God. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. That it doesn't matter. It's modern day. It's difficult. Do it on video. Do it on radio. Do it on whatever it is. Find time for God. Do you know what? If I jump, just get into the car now, Pastor, and I say, we're coming to your home. It doesn't matter how busy you are. You won't say, don't come. It doesn't matter how tough the day has been. You will still say, we want us to come and spend 30 minutes with you. Do you know you'll find it? Because you respect us enough to find it. Why can't you respect God enough to find it? Find the time. It's not negotiable. If you really want the power of God to be at work in you, to do both the little things and the big things that will make everybody around you say, wow, she is operating on a different level, then find the time for God. When you have a quiet time, we have a quiet time so we can meditate on God's word. So you need to read God's word. A short while ago, Pastor preached a message and he talked about the fact that if we don't have it inside us, nothing can come out. He actually used, he said the programming language, I can't remember. He said, if you do a search for something, he said the system goes and scans to see the code or to see it and then to bring it up. However, if there's nothing there, it comes up with an error message. Put the wrong person's email address, it bounces back. Put a wrong website address, it comes up with an error message. Does that mean that website does not exist? No, you put the wrong thing in. You don't have enough information to put the right thing in. So it now looks like it's not working. It works. Brethren, it works for other people. Don't be deceived. Oh, it's England. We don't need power. Yes, we do. We need God's power. A lot more than you can imagine here. You need God's power to raise your children. Every single day they have been taught the wrong thing. What are you going to teach them that they haven't heard worse? Pastor was sharing something with Bethel. I said, that's too much. He said, she knows more than that. Don't bother your head. And we deceive ourselves. Say, no, they know only what I teach. It's not true. They know much more than you and I. It doesn't matter whether you're a modern day mom or an older day mom. It doesn't really make a difference. So do you think you can raise your children yourself? You think you can follow them to school? You think you can take care of your affairs, your business affairs yourself? When you are not there and you've turned your back, somebody's already pilfering on you and you think you can do it. You can't. You need God's power. I need God's power. So that in a place where I'm not, somebody said, you know what, let's not put that girl's name on the board today. Let's remove it because why do we have to remove it? Let's put other people's names. Let's just leave her name out because there's trouble. My name will have come out. Somebody said, there are many other names. That girl came out on Monday and Tuesday. Let's leave her out now. Let's put another person's name. That's God working on your behalf. Somebody said, I don't know why. I just like this person's name. Let's just select them. That's what I was talking to a minister the other day and he said, when you have quite a lot of people's CVs, so for one role, average of 70 people or so apply, if not more. How many CVs, for heaven's sakes, is it going to go through? Boy, just for one reason, just see something. The power of God can make yours float up. The power of God can make it be that at the time that you come, he wants to go and have a cup of tea, and then he comes back, and yours is the one that is there last day. Hang on a minute, this is very interesting. The person says they live in Erith. My church is in Erith. It could be as simple as that. You know that? It does not take a lot to bring a connection that changes things around. It really doesn't take a lot. It does not take a lot. When the power of God is at work in you, things begin to work for you. Please, desire to know God more. Another thing is that you need your prayer life. Your prayer life is very important. And it's not just about you talking to God. It's also about God talking to you. What does that mean? When you kneel down to pray, and I use the word kneel down to pray. I used to lie down to pray. That's one of the things that this brother taught me. So, because that was not the only time he taught me. So I would lie down to pray. He said I should go and learn how to hear God's voice. I didn't know how God used to speak to people. But I know that he said God speaks to him. And I know God spoke to him because I could see power displayed in his life. So when I lie down to pray and I finish, somewhere along the line, I don't know what happens. I would have stopped talking and I would open my eyes. It's been an hour and I haven't been talking. I've been sleeping. I thought, what? There's no chance for me in this thing. And then sometimes I finish praying, I finish talking, I like talking. So to now get a point where you stop talking and you have to listen to God, is that actually when I slip off? Then I wake up and I hear a scripture, I'm so excited. And I go and look at the scripture, there is no scripture like that in the Bible. I said, what kind of spirit is this? Do you know, like saying Matthew chapter 29? It doesn't even exist. So I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? There's no chance for me. But I didn't stop. I kept going. I kept going until I got it right one day. I kept going. So sometimes I hear, I'm thinking, is it you, God? Is it me? Pastor preached a message. Is it me? Is it God? Is it the devil? I used to ask myself that question. Is this me? Is this God? I knew there was no devil in my life. So it was never, is it the devil? It wasn't that, is this me? Or is this God? And as time went on, I would go back and say, what did God tell me this morning? I'll tell him from the scripture. He says, so what did you study today? What did God say? I tell him exactly as I read it. He says, it's not like that. I should go back. I said, what does this brother want me to do? But I'm grateful today. Because as I learned to pray, I learned to stop and listen. So I kneel down now. He said to me, he said, the longer you kneel, the more painful it gets. It's true. So he said, if it's not painful, don't stand up. So I stayed there. You see, I was a good student because I desired what he had. He had so much power with God, I thought, and I didn't have. So please take these little things on, but they are little. And I sometimes talk about my errors just to make you know that, look, it's okay to start simply, but keep on going on from there. If you prayed 5 minutes regularly last year, go for 10 minutes this year every day. I'm not saying start praying 1 hour the same day you start praying, but I'm saying start building on what you already have. It doesn't matter where you are now. If you've been praying 1 hour a day before, go an hour and a half, go an hour and 15 minutes. Hear God more, study more of his word, hear more from him. Day in, day out, the more you do that, the more you get to know his person. To the point that when he tells you don't do, you know I'm not going to do this because God said not to do it. Nobody can tell you to do it because God has said not to do it. So, the more we also know of God, the more God changes us. It's a process, you know. And I remember I read somewhere that that same word, that I may know him and be more like him, is the same word used for the same word in Greek is the same word for metamorphosis. So when, you know, something about when something changes from one stage to the other, it changes completely what it used to be. So from a caterpillar to a butterfly, most of us remember that. So it used to be a caterpillar. It used to be something that doesn't look like the end product at all. And actually, that's our walk with God. God is wanting us to be more and more and more like him. So he's changing us daily. He's changing our form, changing our appearance, changing our character, changing our condition, changing our functions. As time goes on, you look back and thinking, is this me? Some things happen and you're saying to yourself, is this still me? I have so changed. If you can't say that between last year and this year, work on it because you need to. Every year, we need to get more and more and more like him. He wanted to know more of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Another thing I discovered about Paul is that he wanted to know more about the passion of Jesus, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, his passion. Why did he suffer and why did he want to suffer? What is the why behind why this gentleman wants to go through this? The passion that he has. Actually, that same scripture for suffering is the same word, again in Greek, for the word passion. So I don't know how many of us have watched the passion of the cross before. Jesus had a passion. He had something that kept directing and leading him to the point where he gave his life on the cross for us. The question really is, can you say that I have the same passion? I can get the same passion. You know, the word of God said, the zeal of the house of the Lord has consumed me. Can you get to that point? Do you know that this gentleman, Paul, when he was not saved, if you read that same scripture we read earlier, Philippians chapter 3 from the beginning, the same passion with which he persecuted Christians is the same passion with which he was following the Lord like there's no tomorrow. He had passion. Passion spoke for him. He was passionate about getting to know more of God. He wants to know the suffering of God. What will this Christianity cost you? Because it costs somebody something to pass it on to you. What will it cost you? You know, when I was younger, they used to say to us that if it doesn't cost you anything, then God is not interested in you. That's not correct. That's not correct, to be honest with you. However, let it cost you something. Let it cost you something. Let your Bible study time cost you something. Let it cost you TV time. Let it cost you pain. Let it make somebody say something about you. Why not? Why not? I want to know of the passion of this Jesus. As a teenager, let it cost you things. Identify yourself. Be different. This old blending in thing doesn't always work. If anything, it's actually counterproductive. Because the day that you will say you're a believer, they are it's the same one that we're going to say, but you also did this with us the other day. And people are very good at pointing fingers at a Christian. They can handle it when they misbehave. They can't handle it when you misbehave because you're from a different planet. So be mindful of this thing called Christianity that you're representing. If you will experience the power of God, understand this passion. Let this Christianity cost you something. Let it cost you. Let it cost you your time in service. Let it cost you your talent. Let it cost you your treasure. Let it cost you something. What is my faith costing me in time? What is my faith costing me in caring for God's people? It says I count everything I have. I count it as nothing to know God a little bit more. I've got this position. I cannot even talk to people like you, but I count it as nothing. And I've come down to talk to people like you because of the passion of Jesus. I want to know more of that passion. That is, dropping yourself at some point and forgetting about yourself, wherever you're coming from, wherever you think you're going to, and take on the cross of Christ. Take on the things that matter to Jesus. If it matters to Jesus, let it matter to you. And ask yourself the question, will Jesus do it or won't he do it? He will do it. So if he will do it, just get on with it. Will Jesus be waiting for somebody else to do it? No, he doesn't do that. Oh, I've been cleaning all day and nobody appreciates what I'm doing. Will Jesus ever do it that way? Don't do that. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, the scripture says, do it with all thy might. Do it with all your might. That's what says something. He says irregularly. That's a joke. And he says, whenever you leave a place, let 10 people not be able to fill your position because you're doing something with all your might. Let the passion of Jesus, let it lead you. Let it guide you. Let it release the power of God upon our lives. Because if there is no passion, it'll be very, very difficult to get this amount of power that you want to display. The suffering of Jesus. Identify with it. Let this Christianity cost you something. Let it cost you your talent. You use it in the workplace anyway. Oh, I don't want to do anything that has to do with accounting because I'm an accountant. I hate that all I do all day is figures. I don't want to do figures in church. Meanwhile, the church is dying to find an accountant. You won't do. There's always errors every day. Not that it's not correct. But, you know, I'm just using that as an example. There's errors every day somewhere. You say, well, that's not my strength. I have a cleaning company. Cleaning is not my strength. That's why I do 9-to-5. I don't want to do that in church. Let this thing cost you something. Let this Christianity cost you something. Let your time with God cost you something. Let it cost you some pleasure. Let Christianity cost you your treasure. Let it cost you money. I don't care what people have taught about money or what they've said in the past, but you know what you're meant to do, your own duty to God, and the things that God has dropped in your heart to do, do them. And don't even think about anybody or think about anything. Just do them. Just do them. Let this thing we're doing, let it cost you because it costs somebody. For every single pleasure you experience, somebody suffered for it. The chair we're sitting on cost somebody something. The air condition cost somebody something. Apart from money that it cost the organization, it cost the person that created or that did it. Everything we enjoy costs somebody something. Let faith cost you. Because it cost God. It's so free. It's free of charge. You can do what we like with it. No, don't do what you like with God. Treat God with a lot of, you know, honor God. You know, in the Old Testament, there are physical things, and you don't have a choice. You have to do them. And when you do some things wrong, you just die. You're dead anyway, so there's no chance for a second chance. But because we don't die every day in church now, we just do whatever we like and treat God's things and God's people anyhow. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pastor said something to me ages ago. He said the worst part of it is, I said people die every day in church. They don't even know they're dead. That's the worst part of it now. Not in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Because you fall down and you die in the temple. Everybody's so afraid they don't do it again. You know, you get to the pulpit, you say, what happened? Is that your tithe? Yeah, it's my tithe. You know that's 5%. That's not your tithe. I said, yeah, it's my tithe. And then, boom, you're gone. Because you're gone. Do you know what? The next person, they say, is that your tithe? You breathe 13%. Just take it. Take it. Just take it, because I don't want to die. But because we don't see people die every day, you treat God's people anyhow, and you just think, no big deal. It's just Bola. It's not just Bola. Bola carries the treasure of God inside her. It's just Christelle. It's not just Christelle. Christelle is a representative of God. Your sisters, your brothers in the house of God, they are a representation of God. If you have passion for God and passion for the house of God, let it be that you'll be like them. You look at them and you see them with the way Jesus sees them. Then we begin to experience God's resurrection power. The last thing he asks that he wants to know more of God's power. To know more of God's power. God's power, his ability, his resurrection power. That same power that did not stop him and keep him in the grave. That same power that defied all natural causes. You know, he wanted to know Jesus. He said in that scripture, that verse 10, that I may know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I've told us about the fellowship of his suffering, which is the passion for him. I've told us about the person of Jesus, I'm telling us about the power of God. The power of God has more than enough ability to change anything around. But if the person of God is not fully resident in us, and the power of God and the passion of God is not fully resident in us, we will misuse the power of God. You don't have any business with the power of God if you don't know how to manage your walk with God. You have no business with the power of God. Let me tell you this story as I end. There's this gentleman who, there's a brother, when I was in, I think my second year in uni, or third year or something. So he was telling me the story of another brother that was asking God for power. God, give me power. God, give me power. So the gentleman decided he was going to take time out to go and fast. So he took time out fasting. I said, God, I'm not going to live until you give me power. So one day God told him, I think it was the 21st day or thereabout. God told him and said, he said, go out. So he went out. As he was going, he saw a dog charging his way. I'm sure I've said this before. He saw a dog charging his way. And then he shouted at the dog. Okay, you won't like this animal lovers. Okay, don't, you know. And he shouted at the dog. He said, I curse you in Jesus' name. The dog just jumped up, stretched, and died. And God told him, I cannot give you my power. I cannot give you my power. God cannot give a child his power. God cannot put in your charge something you cannot manage. He'll kill you. So rather than the government harassing you, arresting you, sending you to jail if you ever try that here, it was in my country, so anything goes sometimes in my country. If you ever try that here, you're finished. God will say, instead of you being finished, let me just keep this power away from you. It was obvious that this gentleman needed to know more of the person of God and the passion of God before he graduated to the power of God. Paul had the right to ask for it. Paul had the right to ask for it. This is the month of his resurrection power. My question to you is, do you desire it enough? Be, you know, desire it, desire it, desire it. Let it be strong in your heart so that you can take charge of some areas of your life that you don't like. Because the power of God can do that. However, you need the person of God first. You need a passion for the things of God before the power of God is released upon you. Rise to your feet with me. I hope you understand that scripture a little bit more. And I hope you know what we're praying about or what you're believing your God for this month. So if you need God to move in any area of your life, this is the month. It's a good month. The month of the resurrection power. Resurrection power means nothing can stop God from moving in your life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Pray the prayer for yourself tonight that I may know you more, God. I want to know you more. I really want to know you more. Doesn't matter where I'm at, I still want to know more of you. In the name of Jesus, ask the Lord for grace to spend more time with him and get to know more of his person. Be intertwined with him, just not to be an acquaintance with the Lord. Not just to be somebody that knows him casually from afar or somebody that knows of God, but somebody that knows God. When you know God, it's always evident in the way you talk, in the way you behave. Like we were saying about metamorphosis, you will have changed completely from where you started from. Pray for this month to be that month for you and I. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.